Welcome to the latest KleptoCast, the podcast series of Hudson Institute's Kleptocracy Initiative. Every few weeks, we delve into issues of kleptocracy around the world, how they affect us, and what Western policymakers can do about it. My name is Natalie Duffy, and with me here today, I have Russian energy expert Ilya Zaslavsky. Ilya, could you please provide a brief background of the original Nord Stream pipeline and what the motivations are both on the Russian side and the European side to pass the new Nord Stream 2 project?
Nord Stream 2 is a continuation of a project that connects directly Russian gas exports to Germany, avoiding all the transit countries like Poland, Ukraine, Belarus, Slovakia, which stand between two countries since Soviet trunk pipelines have been built. The first Nord Stream 1 pipeline was 55 billion cubic meters of gas per year capacity, and it was built starting from mid to late 2000s. Nord Stream 2 is going to repeat that, to replicate both the volumes and the direction, and will bring the total export capacity of Russia to Germany to staggering 110 billion cubic meters of gas a year. That should satisfy not only Germany's demand for gas, but give Gazprom ability to export further. But the initial motivation on both sides was quite different. In mid-2000s, Putin and Miller, CEO of Gazprom, they would say that they have three major objectives for the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. They said they wanted to meet a rising European gas demand. They said they want to include Central Asian gas into exports of Russian gas, and also to avoid transit risks, as they called it, meaning Ukraine, Belarus. But they preferred usually not to say that they're going to substitute the transit gas through those countries into Nord Stream 1. They said it will be two different sort of new volumes will come around. And they actually promised that transit through Ukraine would remain. However, after financial crisis and other events, European gas demand dropped. So that was no longer a real motivation. Russia never wanted to actually include Central Asian gas. It was just a pretext and sort of diplomatic nicety. And so the actual main motivation surfaced and came to the fore. It's really to avoid, to bypass Ukraine and to strangle it and to dry gas transit through that country completely. On the German side, the motivation was different for political and economic circles. So major banks and some of the wholesale buyers of gas, they've been cooperating with Russia since Soviet times. Actually, I mean, I recently found out that the first idea for trade with Soviet Union was actually raised in 1952. So Stalin was still alive. And then a big contract came around in mid-70s. And Soviet gas export peaked at the height of Cold War in 70s, 80s, and it's quite an interesting development. Politically, both in Soviet times and recently, politicians in Germany have been saying that it's not only about economy, it's sort of through good economy we will develop good political relations. It's sort of cooperation, partnership. And this sort of slogan has been used for decades now. It's not a recent development. And many people on both sides, in Russia and in Germany and in elsewhere in the US, they question the how genuine this motivation.
And how has the United States been involved in this Nord Stream 2?
Russia and Gazprom are spending a lot of money to lobby Nord Stream 2, and it's approval in Europe. They hire lobbyists not only in Europe but also in the States. So in Europe, they have a number of PR and consultancy companies, including like G+. And in Washington, they hired a number of lobbyists over years. The latest one has been someone called Richard Burt, who is a former U.S. ambassador to Germany. He's actually a lobbyist not only for Gazprom, but also for Alpha Bank. And he's been associated with a number of Russian companies, especially within Alpha Group, but not only. It's quite astonishing that what levels of lobbying Gazprom could achieve in Washington. They, despite many objections in Congress, on political grounds, on security grounds, on grounds of helping Ukraine, they still push this agenda. They still try to present Nord Stream 2 as a purely commercial project with no political motivation behind it. And it seems like this staggering pressure may be paying off because the decision, at least in Germany, major U.S. Ally in Europe, it's the decision on the approval of Nord Stream 2, it's on the fence. Despite objections in Brussels, despite objections in Washington, these objections are not strong enough, in my view, precisely because of lobbyists. And in Germany, even Angela Merkel, main opponent of Putin in Europe, the only remaining opponent of Putin in Europe, even she has to give into pressure of corporations and banks that want this project to happen in Germany.
So given all of this, why is Nord Stream 2 considered such a problem?
This myth about economic cooperation, it should be deconstructed. Obviously, this is against all latest economic initiatives in Europe. This project seeks to increase Europe's dependence on Russian gas, despite latest clearly stated objectives of energy union. This project seeks to undermine competition in Europe, which is clearly stated by so-called third energy package. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is that Russia wants to create a special major gas hub in Germany, which would juxtapose Germany against the rest of Europe. So essentially, Russians want to buy off Germany economically and set it against the rest of Europe. Obviously, if we see the problem in that light, and we should see it in that light, it creates huge political repercussions and consequences, not only economic. Not only the rest of Europe will face less competitive gas, more dependence on Russia, and possibly bullying of Russia, but all these transit countries would lose. There would be increased distrust among EU members. And everyone will try to follow Germany's example. Everyone will try, you know, to set these bilateral lucrative deals with Russia at the expense of everybody else. So essentially, Nord Stream 2 is divide and rule policy of Russia in Europe, and US should strongly oppose it along with its allies in the European Union.